Welcome to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. Note that we do spoil some plot points in the course of our reviews, so if that matters to you, then maybe check out the films or not, and we'll go from there. This episode is brought to you by the latest Decepticon, Omicron. I'm Kevin.
I'm Charlie Brown.
I'm a football, and this is episode 283. I don't think we've said that.
No, not yet.
Okay, sorry.
Be quiet, football.
No.
I'm Doug. I'm not a football.
Intern. I could be a football.
Ooh. And I'm Kevin. I don't know what a football is.
Simon's going to kick some of us.
That's probably very true. So, guys, we're grooving, man. We're grooving. We made it past New Year's Eve. I have my booster. I'm still not going anywhere, but we're rocking. And I made it through Christmas, guys. Aren't you happy for me? I made it. I'm 1 week before holidays.
Great.
When does your holidays start?
Well, I mean, today is just after New Year's Eve, so it's going to be like 6 days. I'm off on the 8th of January.
Okay. I'm doing a time warp. I'm wearing the same clothes I wore before Christmas for some reason.
I'm not leaving my house. I'm worried about my kids might be on online school to kill me again, but that's okay. Because I know some people that work from home and I can go outside and bug them. And that's my plan. You know what kills me this time of year, guys? Christmas is over. I've opened my clothes and my new underwear.
You've opened your new underwear.
Garage sales. Oh, I'm not. I'm gonna
so you can't find your underwear at garage sales. Is that what you're saying?
No. You know what's scary? I've never seen underwear at garage sales, and that's I never want to see underwear at garage sales. But I'm trying to figure it out. Maybe you guys can help me.
Like, so are these clean?
We have a local charity shop in the neighborhood. So I dropped off about 150 DVDs.
Okay.
And me and the intern were out shopping one day at said charity shop, and there were my DVDs on the shelf for $5. I'm like, could you guys just price these at $1 so somebody would actually watch them?
So did you buy them back?
I don't want to buy them back because I know a better charity shop sells all DVDs for $1, but I haven't taken the intern there yet. Mm. So my question is, do you guys buy DVDs at charity shops?
What's a charity shop?
Like Salvation Army, Value Village, no. Doug's garage sale thing.
Probably I do.
I go to Value Village with my buddies sometimes, but I haven't since the pandemic.
You said buddies. That means plural.
Yes.
Who's your friends? You don't have any friends.
From my script writing days, at least for the Value Village, I would go with them after movies, or if we go for an outing, we might go to Value Village, which I thought was a joke store. Oh, no, before the pandemic. So might as well have been 10 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Doug, I do have just buy new?
Yeah, generally just new.
Now, do you have like a Goodwill near you that you would go into or no?
No, I don't. Or if I do, I don't go there generally now.
I have a Goodwill near me, but I don't go into it. I just drop stuff off.
You have a Goodwill still?
Oh, Salvation Army. Sorry, Salvation Army.
Okay, well, that's it. That was my big question this week. Let's start the films off.
Okay, now I only wrote down the cast as for the 2021 version, but we are starting with West Side Story.
So we're starting off this episode as we do every other one. Daniel tried to say names properly.
Yes, but it's the title that I messed up this time. We have to roll the tape on that one. West Side Story, directed by Steven Stuber. Steven Spielberg.
I can't come up with the original idea, Berg.
Directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Tony Kushner, starring Ansel Elgort, Rachel Zegler, Irina DeBose, David Alvarez, Mike Faist, and Rita Moreno.
Can I go?
Of course.
Sure, I hated this. And being a musicals fan, I'm going, I saw the previews for it, and I'm going, this ought to be good. Steven Spielberg, plus it's West Side Story. But I didn't want a West Side Story remake. What I got was the original West Side Story. It might as well have been, because I was watching scene for scene, song for song, the exact same movie. And I'm going, well, if I wanted to see the same movie, yeah, I saw that too, like that. And I'm going, if I wanted to see that, I'd watch the original. I guess I'd have to watch the original, then come back to this someday, but I'm not going, because this movie didn't need to be remade. Leave it as it was, and I don't want to ever see it again.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Heavy.
You wanted me to be passionate about movies? There you go. That's passion. Eight.
Doug, you were excited.
Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I loved this movie. I thought it was fantastic. It has a giant Ansel Elgort problem with this movie.
That's what I want to talk about.
It was already filmed. It's not like all the money in the world Spielberg couldn't replace Ansel Elgort. That's why all the advertisements are focusing on Ziegler as Maria. She's fantastic in this. Aside from Ansel Elgort, I love this movie. I thought Kosminski shot it absolutely gorgeously. I think the film looks spectacular. The scene where Riff and Tony are fighting over the gun, such tiny holes. I thought it had a lot of tension in that scene. I don't know why. I was expecting somebody to fall through one of those holes. I just absolutely love this. I don't think it was a shot for shot remake. I love the way Spielberg shot the Officer Krupke song. Incredibly different from the original 61 version. The kid who played Riff was absolutely fantastic. I love Russ Tamblyn in the original. This kid impressed me even more. This was definitely a Spielberg shot film, from the opening long take to the kid coming out of the ground. Just spectacular. I love this movie from start to finish. Definitely in my top 10 of the year.
Were they planning to replace Ansel Elgort?
No. People wanted him to, because of like what they did with Kevin Spacey. Sure. It's just, you can't replace somebody in a musical. It's not like Kevin Spacey was singing and dancing in All the Money in the World.
Was it because of controversy, or just because he wasn't really working?
Because of the controversy surrounding him now. He got legitimately Me Too'd, and yeah. So okay. There is a big Ansel Elgort problem with this movie. He was very good in this film, but he's not the type of person you build a campaign around.
Sure. Okay. Sorry, I didn't see it. I just wanted to see.
I gotta agree with Doug and Bob. It's kind of weird. I like the film. I thought the shooting, I love What We Do in America. Some of these shots are just phenomenal, which you don't see in the original. It's just a different shooting time now. I mean, Spielberg does some beautiful backdrops. Oh, my God. That rubble scene is just phenomenal, which I found out was shot in the New Jersey parking lot. So stuff like that. You can see the Spielberg touches on this. My problem is it felt I was watching a 1960s film. It still had that same feel as the original, shot today. And I'm like, this just doesn't work. It just doesn't feel right. Like, the way it was written felt perfect for the shot when it came out in the 60s. Now I felt it was a little stale. Does that make sense? I felt we've become a better society now than we were then. So I thought some of the themes were a little stale, a little outdated. But, I mean, I understand I'm watching a remake. I got to accept that. But I had problems. Were the two leads in the same movie? I really felt they were totally not acting in the same movie at times. Not saying they were bad. I just felt they were in different films. But I did love the scene in the Officer Cranky scene was phenomenal. I think the second half suffers from songs. I just don't find there's a lot of hits in the second half. The first two-thirds have most of it. The last sort of kind of like, okay, the hits are gone now. Now I'm kind of losing interest. So I enjoyed the film. It's not going to make my top 10 list. I'll tell you ahead of time. But I don't think it needs to be remade. I didn't have a problem with the original. You know, so my issue is when you're going to remake a film, sometimes I'm like, why are you doing this? And I didn't see a reason for Spielberg to remake it.
Oh, I just had one more comment on that. Because
yes, Mr. Carter. Sorry? Oh.
What is it, Horshack?
Yes, exactly.
Go ahead. What? Tell us.
What? Horshack.
Turn off the mic. I want to hear.
I was just going to say that if you're going to make a remake, like do it like with, because I didn't like it. The reason was because when you remake a film, do a little change in each version. Because like in, what was it?
Yes.
The Christmas Carol movies, they changed something in each one. This, I didn't like, I could be wrong, Doug, but I didn't feel that they changed anything. Like, that was my opinion, but.
Oh, they changed a few things.
So, I didn't see it. My biggest question is, why was this movie remade? Why did Spielberg have this driving interest in remaking it? And from articles I've read, he felt that the anti-immigrant stance of the right wing in America required a response. And his response was to put a movie about Hispanics versus white people in the 1950s in a love story. To me, that's hopelessly out of touch and completely useless. Change the plot. Set it now and make it all about left wing versus right wing and make it a romance between a Democrat and a Republican. And they're escaping it all and they're working together and they're showing how stupid all the fighting is about. To me, that would have made more sense instead of remaking a classic, a film that will not be supplanted in the list of classics. It's like redoing Ben-Hur. Okay, you can do it, but is anyone going to go and see it? And I would say based on the numbers that they got last week, the answer is no, because the box office was anemic. So, and the audience that would have wanted to see it for the most part will wait and watch it when it's on Disney Plus in February as part of their subscription. Maybe they'll love it.
Is this going to Disney Plus?
It's a Disney film.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, while I really do love Steven Spielberg as a filmmaker, I think he's out of touch on this one. I don't understand what the point of this was other than maybe he loved it and to him, when he saw the original, he felt its message was important to him, like a pro-immigration stance that is just lost 50 or 60 years later when we're caught up in a whole bunch of other completely different types of immigration issues. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have listened to an interview with Spielberg about this film. And he loves it. He just freaking loves this damn thing.
Yeah. I just don't think he took any risks.
It's the greatest musical ever. That's right. I agree with you. No risks.
Right. That movie was made in 1961 and it won Oscars and it's still acclaimed and people still watch it regularly now. And they know the songs, they know the music. And a lot of families watch it as a yearly event. Not mine, but like some do.
Doug, your family watches yearly?
No. But
okay, so
we love
nobody
the movie.
Does. Yeah. Not saying you didn't love the movie, just a question.
And I do like the original. I like the 1961 version. It's also been performed in every high school every 10 years that has an arts department and a theater department. I just felt that Spielberg, he's walking away.
I'm here.
Is that the football in front of you?
Yes, I'm going to kick it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm off on this, but I just, like, it put me off that this movie even exists.
Okay.
Which is why I didn't see it.
Fair enough. I think I only ever saw one high school production at my high school, and that was Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, we every did high school does Little Shop of Horrors.
That's pretty
I'm surprised good. Doug has never added it to his list to actually make me rewatch something I despise.
So you hate it if I just started singing then?
Oh, I love the songs. No, I love the songs. I just think it's such a dumb premise.
Okay.
You're entitled to your wrong opinion. That's fine.
Yes, I do that. Killer plants. Yeah.
Maybe you'd like Resident Evil a bit more?
I would love Resident Evil.
Okay. Had everyone said everything they wanted to about West Side Story?
Yes, okay. Move along.
Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. Written and directed by Johannes Roberts, starring Kaya Scodelario, Hannah John Common, Robbie Amell, Tom Hooper, Avon Yogia, Donna Logue, Neil McDonough, and Nathan Dales. Doing your little dancey dance, Simon.
I'm a little stiff, so I have to stand for a bit. I'll start, man. This is what I want in a Resident Evil film. Complete pile of junk. Loved every minute of it. They have so many homages for us video game fans, I lost it. When they open the crate and pull out the gun, I'm like, that's it! Somebody knows what they're doing! Wesker shows up. Love Wesker in the video games. This is like an homage to the first Resident Evil I've been waiting for my whole life. All they had to do is put some blue and red plants in, and green and red plants, I mean, and have them pick it up, but I would have lost my crap. This film is terrible. But if you're a Resident Evil fan and play the games, you will love it. They even have a scene from Resident Evil 3, like the actual video that's the creepiest crap on the planet, when the two twins are pulling the thing off the dragonfly, the twins, and people are like, what is that? That is an homage to Resident Evil Codename Veronica. I lost my crap. So yeah, this movie was made 100% me. It's a big load pile of crap, but I loved every minute of it. The T-virus, when they shoot him with the T-virus, he gets bigger. I'm like, oh, there he goes. And then they shoot Wesker, because in the game, Wesker gets superpowers, and we don't know how. Now, but he talks about how he's enhanced. So this movie actually is the origin story to the game. So being a geek, I love this film. Absolutely phenomenal film. Overall, as a movie, big pile of junk. But I don't care. It's Resident Evil. They can make 100 of these. I'll watch every one of them. So Resident Evil gets a thumb up, even though it's a terrible film. Go out and watch it if you're a fan of the game, and you'll love it.
It gets a thumb up what?
Okay.
Oh, it's for just its homage to the games. There's so many Easter eggs in this film. It's great. Because the crates, they have these crates in the game, and they open up, they pull, I was losing it. And they even have the critters in the game. The one that shrieks, that's in the game. Like, just so much stuff from the game is in here. So somebody actually played a video game or knew enough to put a stuff in here to make me happy. And overall, it's a terrible film.
I agree that it's a terrible film. I didn't like it at all. I know you're a video like a gamer and you like the video game. I didn't really play the video games, and it may have been a homage to one of the Resident Evils, but like by the one I only saw number one, so I didn't like this. I thought I was comparing it to every other zombie movie made, like Dawn of the Dead. I thought, well, Dawn of the Dead, there's the zombies, there's everything else. And I'm going, not for me. Thank you. Bye.
Has anybody else seen this?
No, I wanted to, but I didn't get out to the theaters.
As much as West Side Story will make my top 10, this movie is going to make my bottom 10 without a doubt.
Oh, no.
All I can say really is itchy tasty. When itchy tasty, it's written in blood on somebody's door.
Okay.
And then a character crashes through that door and screams into the face of one of the leads, itchy tasty. I knew I was in for a giant piece of horse shit with this movie. It is not good. There are characters who show up, do one thing, and then disappear throughout the rest of the movie.
Hold on. All those characters are important. Jill Valentine, Wesker, they're all in the games. Those are all homages to the games.
That doesn't make a good movie, though.
Oh, no, the movie's terrible. But keep doing this. I loved it.
What about the weird chick in the orphanage who was wearing masks or skin of somebody else?
I have no idea what that's going to do with the game, but I haven't made the new ones.
Shows up for two scenes. Nope. That's it.
Not in the game.
Itchy, tasty, awful. Just awful.
Absolutely agree. It's a terrible film. If you're not a fan of the game, there's no point in watching this movie. None. I 100% agree with you.
Did it have that really tall lady?
No, it needed. It needed Ashford Simpson, the two twins. I wanted him to be the villain because he's the villain of one of the games. And you get to fight him, and then you fight his sister at the end.
Going on to the next one?
Yeah.
No Mila Jovovich, no me.
Yeah, well, she's hot.
I feel like I want to start singing for Tick, Tick, Boom, Boom. Like the, I feel bad about you feeling bad. Tick, Tick, Boom. Directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Written by Steven Levinson. Starring Andrew Garfield, Alexandra Shipp, Robin DeJesus, Joshua Henry, Judith Light, and Vanessa Hudgens. Ooh, Resident Evil poster just for Kevin.
Yeah, I have just wanted to show you guys, if you see it on the video, it's my Resident Evil poster signed by Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, who got that for
me? Signed by Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh.
That's how big a Resident Evil fan I am.
Very nice. Have you played all the games?
I'm going to currently play on my next holiday, which is in 6 days. At the time this will be posted, I'm going to start Resident Evil 6.
Ah, okay.
Actually, I'm going to play 5 and 6, probably. I'll probably play a good chunk of 5 because I'm working my way up to Village, which I haven't bought yet, so I'm getting there. And we're doing Tick, Tick, Boom, Boom. Okay, I remember this film. Tick, Tick, Boom. Yes. I saw this before Doug put it on the list, so I apologize. I saw it about the day it came out because I actually got to say, I feel like an Andrew Garfield apologist because I really like him as an actor. He always does something for me. I find he gives it his all in everything. I liked him as Spider-Man. When people were doubting him, like, I enjoy him as Spider-Man. I don't find him boring. Okay. I have a lot of problems with this one. I love the storyline. Lin-Manuel Miranda cannot shoot a film to save his life. I find he uses the same shot over and over and over and over and over again. I got it, Lin. I got it. I got it. You're very happy. I find there was one solid song, was the restaurant song I loved when they all got to come for brunch, I think it is. When the whole cast breaks out, I thought that was excellent. The problem is for me, Garfield can't sing. He is off key most of the time and bugs me. The problem for me, guys, just, you know, my daughter is a singer, so I have to go to some recording sessions and stuff, so I hear a lot of off, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just used to, I did not like Garfield. I liked his acting, but I didn't like him singing at all in any way. I did like the supporting cast. I think saves him a lot in the film because they're very strong and very good singers. So they drowned him out a lot. So things like that I enjoyed about the film. I found it more interesting learning about Jonathan, like through the narration when he's talking about himself. And how he believed so much in his passion that he was going to be something. And I felt bad when Suburbia, is it called Suburbia?
Yes.
Yes.
It didn't sell. I felt actually bad for him. You know, and I mean, obviously I knew Rent was his big thing, but I didn't know he did stuff before Rent. Maybe I should have, but no. But I love, like, he seemed to work hard as a character. Like, he tried to get all those people to come to his reading or I don't have the workshop.
Presentation.
Workshop,
stuff like that. So overall, I thought the film was just okay. I wish it was better, but I can't give something better. I found a lot of static shots. I didn't like the lead singing, but I did love the storyline. So there you go.
Yeah.
I got to continue on from your thing. I agree with you on his singing. His acting was okay in this. This is another film like last time I should have checked Google and IMDb because I didn't know it was Jonathan Larson and he was a creative Rent until at the end. It took me more than half the movie to get interested and music was okay, but except like forgettable Andrew Garfield was really bad. The only good one was there was a duet between Alexander Shipp and Vanessa Hudgens. I really enjoyed their voices melded together well. And other than that, I didn't enjoy this film either.
Kevin, you want to go?
Sure. I didn't have a problem with the singing. I think it's very much in the style of Rent, where it's meant to be sort of conversational. You know, you break into song, and then it expresses your situation. It's all about what's happening to you now. Where are you going? What's happening to you? Why are you so frustrated? Why is life putting you down? How are you going to get out of this? He's in a series of situations that he's put himself in where he's not succeeded, but he's on the verge of it. And he's worried that, all the people he worships were more successful than he was at the age of 30. And that was really wearing on him. And, he's in New York. He's trying to make a big deal out of it. He's dealing with issues like his girlfriend wants to move out of town. So, he's upset by that. His roommate leaves. He's had multiple roommates, in fact. He can't pay the bills. He's not paying. In fact, all of that stuff about the power getting cut off and not having enough money and not being able to pay the rent and all that stuff was actually very Spider-Man, I thought was kind of funny, that Andrew Garfield's back in New York City, not able to pay the rent. But I liked him. I thought he was really good in it. I thought he was very earnest. And I do like Andrew Garfield a lot as an actor. I think he's done some really strange movies like Eyes of Tammy Faye and stuff like that, that I'm not sure why he does that. And I think it's not necessarily the best performance of his this year, but it's definitely, I think, going to get him some kind of recognition going forward. So I think, I'm not going to look for Andrew Garfield musicals going forward, but I think he was competent in this. And he looked a bit like the guy.
He did.
So, yeah. And I thought they really glossed over his death. And they glossed over Rent. And it was all mostly about his workshops with Superbia. And the feedback he was getting from people like Stephen Sondheim and so forth. There was that great sequence when the two critics were ripping it. One guy was ripping into it. And then Sondheim was going, but I like this part of it, and then the guy's going, well, yeah, that's what I was saying too. Like he kept kissing up to Steven. And I thought that was interesting. A lot of fun. That guy from Spin City. That actor, yeah.
Richard Kind.
Yes, thank you. And then Bradley Whitford played Sondheim.
Yeah. So overall, I was interested. I made it all the way through. I just thought that the end seemed like an addendum.
So do you normally not make it through movies? Because you just said, yeah, I made it through it all.
No, a lot of times if I throw a movie on that's on Netflix, it's like you do other things.
Oh, right? Okay. I get that.
Yeah. This one and Power of the Dog were both strong Netflix entries. So,
you don't give the full attention just because it's on Netflix?
No, I think if I'm watching something streaming, depending on how good it is, whether it captures my attention or not.
Okay. So most Daddario movies, you're just wandered away.
Yes, Daddario, it's like, when is she on and what is she wearing? And the rest of it doesn't really matter. So
that's what I figured.
You should just have her own streaming service for you.
All the Daddario.
I've seen every Daddario movie at once stated, all of them.
Mm. Even the Percy Jacksons?
Yeah, I've seen all the Percy Jacksons.
All right. Who else?
Now, for Tick, Tick, Boom, yes.
Did I miss Doug speaking?
No, I haven't spoken. Neither has Dan.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Andrew Garfield is cast for his acting, not his singing. And I wasn't offended by his singing. I thought it was fine in the style of Rent. One guy who I wished would have sang more was Robin DeJesus, who we saw him in Boys in the Band. I think he's great. The friend, my friend Michael, who gets AIDS throughout the, I think near the end of the film, which they kind of gloss over a bunch of stuff at the end. But I thought, I really like this movie. I like the songs. There's nothing here that I would be singing to myself besides that weird sound that has gone viral on TikTok, the I Feel Bad Because You Feel Bad, the one that he sings with Vanessa Hudgens, and they're doing all the crazy faces. Though about Hudgens, I was surprised that she it was almost distracting that she's there, because she has a great voice, but her role is very minimal. And it was almost weird to me that she's a big enough star, but her role isn't much besides just the singing, which I found kind of strange.
All that. Sure. Vanessa Hudgens. Star? Have you seen The Princess Switch?
What do you mean?
I mean, she never made it anything.
High School Musical. She's like, she's a recognizable face. That
oh, okay. Weird. Yeah, I'll give you that. 100%. Yes.
It's weird that she's a star. I mean, it's just weird that she's just, okay, hey, she's just kind of, she's just okay, confined to that side of
Doug,
the story.
If I she also has the Jonathan Larson connection. A picture of Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she was in Rent on Broadway. Not the original cast, but she was in Rent. That was her first big sense. Thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Simon, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just saying, would Doug recognize a photo of Vanessa Hudgens?
Yes.
If I held one up and just go, who is this? Would you know?
Probably.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
he's saying probably. If I showed you a photo of Sandra Bullock, you're like, oh, that's Sandra Bullock. Jennifer Lawrence, you're like, oh, that's Jennifer Lawrence. Hudgens is one of those people that I'm not sure everybody would recognize, is what I'm saying.
If you're doing Billy on the street, just going down the street with the pic, do you recognize Vanessa Hudgens? Or can you name this person? I feel like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 people are going to be like, yeah, that's Vanessa Hudgens.
I mean, really? Have you seen Billy on the street? He asks some weird questions and gives him a dollar.
He does, yes. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm just giving a weird example. But either way, like maybe over people like – over a certain age group might not know, but like people my age, definitely. You ask anyone my age, Vanessa Hudgens. You ask anyone with a Netflix subscription for the Princess Switch, Vanessa Hudgens. She's a star in her own right, but it just depends on who's watching.
She's becoming the Lacey Chabert of Netflix films, okay?
Sure.
As Lacey Chabert is a hallmark, she's becoming to Netflix.
Sure. Can we move on past Vanessa Hudgens and I'll just get the rest of my thoughts on the film?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Now, I really liked how this was written. I just turned 27 myself, so I related very much to him being on the scary side of 30, just turning 30 and deciding what he wants to do. And it's like, okay, I related to that very much, just trying to find what I want to do. And then obviously he has more success with Tick, Tick, Boom, Tick, Tick, Boom as he's writing it. And then, I thought it was kind of similar to Bo Burnham in a way, where just the turning 30 song. But yeah, like, I don't think there's any music here that I'll be singing to myself. So it's not memorable in that way as far as musical goes. But I was interested in learning more about Jonathan Larson. And I thought it was an emotional film. And I didn't realize that he died at like 36 or 35.
Yeah, so really young.
I was like, wow. Yeah, because he did Superbia. Suburbia, and then Tick, Tick, Boom, and then Rent. And I just started crying when it said he didn't even get to see it on Broadway. He died a day before.
He didn't even make it to previews.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, because I thought he said he died a day.
The previews.
Oh, okay. Just so sad. And it was cool seeing the little tributes to him, like the guy at the beginning of the film saying, okay, we dedicate this to Jonathan Larson. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda loves him, so that's why.
Well, this movie is definitely the way I need to see Lin-Manuel Miranda. Using somebody else's music. I do not like his stuff. If you listen to Hamilton and In the Heights, the dude could sue himself for plagiarism. I mean, the songs sound so much alike. It's the reason I have no desire to see Encanto.
I've seen it.
Did he do the music for that too?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, interesting.
And I bet it sounds exactly like In the Heights and Hamilton.
You're correct.
But I loved this movie. I think Andrew Garfield was fantastic. I had no problems with his singing. I thought he did a very good job for somebody who's not a trained singer. This was a very good musical in a year that had some pretty big budget musicals come out. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
Anyone else on Tick Tick Boom? No? Okay. We're going to the Bank Dick. from 1940, directed by Edward F. Klein, written by W.C. Fields, writing as Mahatma Kane Jeeves, starring W.C. Fields, Shem Howard, Russell Hicks, Grady Sutton, Franklin Pangborn, and Cora Witherspoon. Don't know if you guys recognized anyone else from this.
Just W.C. Fields. And this is my first W.C. Fields film, unless he's in something I've seen but I don't remember. I could start this. Sure. This is very slow going. It took me 15 to 20 minutes to start actually getting into the film because it spends a lot of time setting up. Like, it just, you can tell it's an old-timey movie just by the pacing on it, because this wouldn't fly today in any way, just the thing. It took me a long time, and I started going, okay, everything's going to work out in the end. I know that, but just how are we going to get there? And I thought it was a little bit too convenient the way things were working out for the W.C. Fields character. And I almost wasn't going to pass this film and say I liked it, but that end 15-minute car chase, phenomenal. I'm giving this thing a full thumbs up on that car chase. It was just great. Absolutely. The car chase was the best part of the film. Let's see, yeah, it's totally worth it. I think people that saw this in theaters, I think would have got more out of it than I did, because I think a lot of the stuff people have borrowed off this film over the years. So for me, it wasn't something new to watch, but I like to see where it came from. I don't know if I like W.C. Fields. I think I got to watch a couple more things to give him a shot, because, I mean, I don't know if this is one of his better films or not. But, again, it was just too slow for me. It took too long to get going, but I did love the car chase at the end. That's it.
That handbrake bit where he passes it back. Oh, like, it's not
the steering wheel bit. He goes, okay, you can do a better job and hands him things. I mean, these bits are great. Like, if we should just cut the rest of the film and just do that last car chase, I would love this.
The green screen doesn't look too bad for 1942.
I like the scene where the car goes into the trench and all the guys go flying.
Yeah, and the sound effects, and then the bike goes through. But I looked
at the year. Yeah. There's my argument. Today was all a green screen. That's all practical effects.
Yeah, except when they're driving and they have the monitor in front of them. But like the rear. But they actually shoot it well when they're actually just showing them going around. I was like, oh, okay, that's actually impressive. Not
come on,
just
the windshield gag was great.
Which
the
one?
Parking brake gag. The gags were phenomenal in this part.
Yeah, and even elsewhere, like the where he takes the grape off the woman's hat. That was one of the best parts. And I love the logic of him trying to help the guy change his engine. And then it just wash cuts. It's like, okay, that problem's done. We don't see how it's resolved. It just goes to the next
thing. Oh, no, but then they go back to that joke, which I liked. They go back to it later.
Oh, was that
and
him?
The woman still gives to the driver shit for still not putting him in W. Fields' crap. I love that joke.
Okay, I missed that. Okay.
All right. Doug, the part I'm talking about when he comes back later, the engine's on the ground. And W. Fields gives him crap for putting it on the ground, and he says something, and the woman gives him crap again. Great joke. And the problem is, I know I was done. The family is uninteresting. His family does not provide any interest to this film at all. They got to fix that part.
Just for him wanting to kind of kick the little girl, his daughter, because she's just a brat. But no, I enjoyed this. I didn't think... honestly, it was kind of almost a background watch for me. I was kind of doing the cast list for the episode, just because in the middle, I don't find there's a lot of content. Like, there's a plot, but it's not super clearly defined until they have to go with the whole bit of trying to get the bank examiner not to see the books. And that was hilarious, just with stepping on the glasses, not knowing he was left-handed when he crushes his right hand. I thought that was really funny. And it has a couple really solid laughs, solid gags. I love the car chase. And this is my first W.C. Fields film. And I'm convinced if Winnie the Pooh came out 30 years earlier and he did not die in 1946, he would make a good Winnie the Pooh. Something about his voice, when his like voice gets softer, I heard it and I was like, is he Winnie the Pooh? But obviously not. So that's my take on it.
Okay. The car chase, yeah, I agree with the car chase, and the engine dropping out was the really good scenes. The highlight for me was seeing Shemp Howard in a non Three Stooges role, but like, I just found everybody else was a reactionary to W.C. Fields. Like, they were just like, it was just their reactions again to him, what he was doing. And I think I've seen another W.C. Fields film, and I like, this is the beginning of his, like, he's getting the voice together for when he was with, what was her name? God, I forgot her name. Anyway, yeah, that's her. And it's like the beginning of his like mannerisms was there, and I didn't really enjoy it then, and I didn't enjoy it with this. So other than the few scenes, I wasn't too thrilled with this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. This was my first W.C. Fields film. I've seen, you know, Marx Brothers, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy. So I wanted to see W.C. Fields was another big comedian whose stuff I had never seen. And I looked it up and saw that this one was probably his highest regarded film. So that's why I put it on the list, because I was curious. And it was charming. I thought it was very charming. I knew W.C. Fields from people doing impressions of him in like the old Looney Tunes cartoons or something. You're like, get away from me, kid. You bother me. Stuff like that. I thought this movie was really charming. Like Bob said, Shemp Howard as the bartender. I like seeing him in a non-Stooges role. And all the little gags, they just worked for me. It wasn't always laugh out loud funny, but it was charming to me. And I enjoyed it. I had fun with this film.
Yeah, it's just an easy watch, I think. An hour and 12 minutes.
Daniel could fit it in, you know, his busy schedule.
Yeah, with all the shifts at the strip club.
The hour and 15-minute run time.
Yeah. Kevin, did you see this?
No, I didn't.
You did.
Which is why I'm not.
Oh, sure. Okay. I think that was it for this. We only have four on this list.
Perfect. We're done early. We're out of here. Nobody bought anything this week. Great. So if they make it,
most of us watch it.
Night all.
Yeah. Night.
Okay.
Night.